Dear Tuffet, lying on the sofa daydreaming again? Or are you staring from your bedroom window at the old folks' home across the road and hoping that the whistler will make another break for it through the gate between the scary trees? He made it all the way to buy razor blades at the kiosk at the Golden Lantern last week before he was caught, didn't he? Oh yes, I know you. I know what you're doing. I know how you're thinking. You're 9 years old, it's the summer holidays, and you're bored. Mum keeps telling you to go outside and play, but you don't want to. There's no one around to practice Eurovision dance routines with, or to play Monopoly. You watched Moonraker on VHS yesterday, and the boys won't let you play tennis with them because you lose too many balls in the field. So you're listening and watching and waiting for something to come along. In your head, you're making a list of things you're going to do when you're a grown-up. It's hard to write this next bit, but you're not going to be a stunt woman. I know you think you're going to be the female Lee Majors, but you ain't, kiddo. Neither will you win an Olympic medal, even at the walk. What you will do is try various haircuts, from the Meg Ryan to the Rachel. You'll know them when the time comes. But despite your best efforts, nature will win, and you'll ultimately be back to where you started, with a Kate Humble frizz. She's on the telly when you're older. Stay on the sofa long enough, and she'll tell you all about birds and animals. A bit like Johnny Morris, only sometime into the next century, they let girls know stuff too. More importantly, by the time you turn 30, I know, old, right? Your CV will be like one of Mrs. Bailey's lessons on verbs. You will have packed, cleared, cleaned, served, polished, buffed, kimballed, waitressed, shepherded, painted, dressed, acted, prepared, taught, glued, selected, edited, sorted, delivered, changed, fed, watered, played, decorated, harvested. And you will still spend your time watching and listening, sometimes from the sofa, and sometimes out in a cafe. I know there aren't any of those in Oni, are there? It's like a really small service station, like the one you stop at on the way to Grandma's. No, you don't take your own sandwiches and flask, and you don't pinch the sugar. I can't tell you that when you're a grown-up you're going to be a writer, because you are already one. You're doing the groundwork right now. You don't know it yet, but you're soaking it all up, taking it all in. A hard-of-hearing father is teaching you that there's more than one way to listen. A linguistic mother is showing you the beauty of words. Even the boys are helping you to understand that people are a crazy mix of contradiction. I know they annoy you, but let me tell you, those years spent sitting in the hole in the hedge, keeping guard over HQ as they ran around playing soldiers, have made you patient. Don't think that writers know everything, and don't worry about forgetting stuff. They don't, and you won't. You'll remember all the things you need. The bread and bits and banana sandwich Sunday teas. Drying your hair by the gas fire and Dad polishing your school shoes. The telling off you got for sneaking out to the fair because you told your mum that Vicky's mum was going to be there. And she wasn't, was she? Your teddy being stolen from your bicycle basket in Suffolk. Walking up Snowdon age 6 only to find out you had to walk back down again. Putting KW's bicycle into a clump of stinging nettles after her sustained bullying campaign. You felt empowered for approximately 4 minutes before you realised you had to pass her house and her glaring mother on the way back to your own. Your beautiful white faux fur coat, with a diamante zip no less, being ruined when you slipped, fell, were pushed into your grandfather's fishing pond. You'll never forget that coat and its transformation from fluffy duckling to slithy tove. Gangster chic at 3 years old. Be glad for it, though. It's all going to come in use. And don't worry about growing up and things changing. All those real-life people you're watching, from the sofa, from the window, from the hedge. Mr. Lack, the caretaker, and his Robin Rialto. Milky Davis and his snotty son. Athol Barrick, who lost half a finger trying to land a pike. So he said. John the Con, who sells maggots and has a lazy eye. Alfie Sizer, the beekeeper, and Alfie Harrison, who only eats burnt bread. Mr. Pebbedy, who smells of the tan. Ratty Andrews, who smokes roll-ups at the allotments. Jeremiah Richardson, who you'd love to play kiss chase with. Mr. Morgan, who shouts on Poppy Day. Sister Mary at the convent, who keeps quail and speaks in a really funny accent. Miss Smith, who you also call Auntie Daphne, but who's no relation to you whatsoever. You'll never get this. Just go with. Dustbin and Jelly in the Dagnall Road lot. Even the Whistler, who murders people and puts them in his wheelbarrow. You're going to meet them all again when you grow up. They might not look or act quite the same, but you know who they are. I'm writing this from the middle of your fifth decade. You'll know by the time you get here that life can go pear-shaped. You'll have had your heart broken and your spirits crushed, but you'll have also been filled with joy and energised by experience. You'll know that writing can be like herding cats, and that good writing can be like hen's teeth. If, at the end of a draft, you think it's a curate's egg, consider that a success. Don't expect the moon and the stars, but go boldly into the space. You'll be told that mixing metaphors is not the done thing. Au contraire, my friend. You weren't raised to follow convention, be tribal, or nail your colours to any mast, so write freely. You'll know when it's time to start. For now, keep watching. Keep listening. See you around, Tuffet.